Hello, I'm Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, and I lead the Justice, Equity, and Opportunity Initiative. Welcome to my podcast series, Walk, Listen, Learn, Our Journey to Justice. Why a podcast? Well, I wanted to combine three things I love: walking, listening, and learning, as the title suggests. I'm also passionate about people and finding engaging ways to discuss issues. So thanks for joining me. Welcome to the first episode of Walk, Listen, and Learn, Our Journey to Justice. Our topic today is restorative justice, and I am really excited that my very first guest is my husband, Brian Eccles. Besides being a wonderful husband and dad, Brian is a senior advisor to the Illinois State Treasurer, and he is also a restorative justice practitioner, a community organizer, and he facilitates a social justice practicum for master's level students. Brian previously coordinated Chicago's Community Restorative Justice Hubs, which is really a network of community-based organizations that are working in collaboration to address interpersonal violence through community-led and driven restorative practices. Thanks for joining us, Brian, as we walk, listen, and learn.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about your podcast and what you're about to do in talking about these subjects that are important to you. And I'm hopeful that this conversation will stimulate others to dig a little bit deeper in learning about restorative justice, as it is, you know, it's a topic that is being thrown around the media, but there's so much more to it.
Thank you, babe. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. All right. So when we were planning to have this conversation, I thought a lot, not just about restorative justice sort of in these sort of big system reforms that people are thinking about. I first and foremost thought about it in terms of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm a restorative justice practitioner and advocate. You're a restorative justice practitioner and advocate. We're both trained circle keepers, and we'll mm-hmm. talk a little bit later about what that means. Mm-hmm. But I thought we could just kind of start by thinking about, like, what does this mean that the two of us consider ourselves to be restorative? Because I always say, mm-hmm. and I think you said it as well, that restorative is not what we do.
Yeah,
it is who we are.
Yeah, it's who we are.
What does that mean to you?
So it's recognizing that, you know, we are flawed individuals and we make mistakes, and that we should be afforded the space to right our wrongs. That's what restorative justice is, right? Like, not only as someone who may have caused harm in relationship, which means that I've harmed someone, like, you know, I want that person to be made whole again as well as myself, right? Because what that means is that, you know, our house is healed, mm-hmm. right? So in restorative justice, we say hurt people, but healed people. So at the root of who we are about healing so that our home, so that our community, our block is whole.
Yeah, I like starting there because when you talk about the fact that we're flawed individuals, mm-hmm. that when we take it broader to what happens at the community level mm-hmm. or at a societal level, mm-hmm. it's all of us living in community with one another, but
That's
all
right.
being flawed beings
right.
that
That's
can
right.
hurt others.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that harm that takes place one to another is something that can lead to system involvement. It can lead to lots of different reactions. Mm-hmm. But at the very core, it's two flawed people, mm-hmm. Both who have experienced harm or hurt throughout their lifetimes mm-hmm. that somehow mm-hmm. give them the capacity to also cause harm.
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, that goes back to, you know, hurt people hurting. And the restorative justice process allows that space for people to be renewed, right? To be made whole again.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So for us on a daily basis, it's through our communication, or if I do something that gets on your nerves or you don't like,
you?
Or you do, oh, yeah, I know that's not not quite often, but mm-hmm. just kidding. But if we do something that harms the other, that could mm-hmm. mean hurts their feelings or mm-hmm. annoys them or does something that you just don't like or don't appreciate, mm-hmm. then we have to create space to have conversation.
Right.
So let's take that to a broader context of sort of circle keeping or sitting in circle.
Okay.
When you're talking about more community-based harm.
Okay.
So what is a circle? We hear people talk yeah. about restorative justice and they say, let's sit in circle, or I was a circle keeper.
Yes.
Literally, what does that mean?
So what that means is that individuals who have been in a situation where harm has been done voluntarily, through invitation, come into a space to address the harm.
And are they literally sitting in a circle?
Yeah. Yeah. In this scenario, they are sitting in circle. Like when it's personal between you and I, right, there is no circle per se, but they are sitting in circle. They bring, you know, themselves, but they also bring individuals from their family or from their community to sit there in support. In many cases, the person who has done the harm and the person who has been harmed both do that. So you have those individuals who are in the circle in addition to a circle keeper. So the circle keeper is basically the one who is helping to build rapport inside the circle, helping to build trust, helping to through a series of questions or something that we call rounds to get individuals more comfortable in speaking in that space, to trust the space, to, you know, there's a round, usually the first round is, do you have something of value to put into the circle? Tell us what about the object and why it's important to you. And by putting that object into the circle, in the center of the circle, that's your way of saying that I'm present, mm-hmm. I'm committed. Maybe a round before that was, how are we going to conduct this? You know, are we going to be able to use cell phones while we're sitting in circle, right? Like, there are ways that we establish what the values and the norms are going to be in this circle while we have that this time together.
So I want to set the stage then. So two people, mm-hmm. one who has caused harm to another, someone who has been harmed by another, mm-hmm. get their friends, their family, their community members to come and sit in circle mm-hmm. with the seats actually arranged in a circle. Mm-hmm. There's a center of a circle where they might put an object. Each person might put something in the middle of the circle that means something to them. Mm-hmm. And then there's a circle keeper who's going to be sort of facilitating that space to make it a safe space for real authentic communication. Correct. Does that kind of sound?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And so they're asking questions that will help build trust, or what kinds mm-hmm. of, I know you gave a couple of examples, but the goal of the circle is what?
The goal of the circle is to familiarize the people beyond, you know, the harm, right? Who
because
are
that's
you?
All you know.
Yeah, that's,
you harmed me
yep.
or I harmed you.
That's right.
And that's all people really know, but they
right.
don't know the backstory.
They don't know the backstory. So the circle creates space for the backstory to come to the front.
Mm-hmm.
It humanizes the individuals who are in the space. It allows the individual who has been harmed to be hopefully made whole again. Because after, you know, someone has been harmed, they're different. Right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not who they once were. And the goal of the circle is to help them to be made whole again, so that they can move on with their lives, right? Like, this isn't something that I have to constantly wonder about or deal with, right? Because the circle creates an opportunity for me to say everything that I need to say to the person who has harmed me, but also even for me to hear from that individual, because, you know, I walk away, maybe I hear something that I never knew mm-hmm. about that person, or maybe I connect to this person in a different way. Maybe even I become the healer.
Yeah.
For the person who harmed me.
And I think it's important to just sort of think about this is an opportunity to hear, to ask questions, to share, to be made whole mm-hmm. in a restorative process. Because oftentimes when we think about the traditional criminal justice system, mm-hmm. it doesn't look like that.
No.
Like, what's the difference between the traditional system and that process versus a restorative process?
Yeah, so the traditional system focuses on a law being broken, who broke the law, and then what is the penalty? Restorative justice asks, you know, what was the harm? Who did the harm? And then how do we repair the harm?
And how do you repair the harm doesn't necessarily have to look like a penalty mm-hmm. because each person has what they, in their own minds, what would be helpful for them to, as you said, to be made whole.
Right. Absolutely. But at the root, there is accountability.
Yes.
You are accountable for your actions.
Right.
At the end of the day, but the processes allow the person who has been harmed, again, to hear and to be heard, right? Oftentimes when something happens, we feel like our voice was taken away from us. This is a way for the circle allows me to reclaim my power. It allows me to reclaim my humanity. And it allows me to see and learn as well. The circle is a space where we can learn.
Yeah. I love the concept of to reclaim my humanity. Mm-hmm. If I've been harmed mm-hmm. by someone, then oftentimes we are relegated to being just, you know, you're just a victim or mm-hmm. you're over on the side.
Right.
But when I'm in a circle and I reclaim my power, reclaim my voice, then I can ask the questions that I need answers to,
yep.
but I can also speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not often included in the traditional justice system,
right.
This opportunity to sit together with, supported by your community in mm-hmm. circle mm-hmm. to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, when that community is there, there's always going to be an answer that comes organically out of that circle.
What do we say in restorative justice?
The wisdom is always in the room.
The wisdom is in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how do you interpret that statement? The wisdom is in the room.
Well, so if a question is asked, someone sitting in that circle is going to have an answer, or there are going to be iterations that, you know, from person to person, that answer is built upon, so that when it comes around to the person who's caused harm, like, they have an understanding, right? Like, they walk out with a level of wisdom that they did not have before they walked in to the circle.
Yeah, I always talk about, like, when I say the wisdom is in the room, I think about when there's a problem or harm has been done, you don't have to go outside of your community
ultimately
to find the solution.
Right.
You know, the community has the wisdom.
Right, right.
And I think that's a lot of what we're hearing, you know, kind of right now in this period of time that we are in our society, where people are saying, lift up the voices of community, go back to community
yeah.
to find out what does safety mean to them, to find out what they need.
Yeah.
Don't bring all these outside forces. And I think that's what you're talking about. The circle is saying everything you
need is right here.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, if you think about it, the origins of restorative justice.
Yeah, because it's not new, right?
No,
like, this is not something that you might hear about it now, but
right.
it didn't just get created
right.
by somebody.
And it was, depending on the language of the people, it was called many different things, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, let's just talk about it here in America. Restorative justice is a practice that is still being used inside of indigenous communities. It was a manner in which the community could come together when harm was done inside the community. They didn't have, they don't have, you know, the traditional court systems that we have. There are no police. The policing looks different. The systems from the outside are not inside. Those individuals who may be on the reservation have the ability, or in communities, right, currently, have the ability to address the harm. They're equipped to deal with it inside. They're equipped to either embrace that individual or help them to understand through the process how much damage has been done.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit, because I know in my opening I talked about your work with what was called the Community Restorative mm-hmm, Justice Hubs, mm-hmm. even though I know you've led circles beyond that, and yeah. I've led circles beyond that, mm-hmm. This process that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But with the Community Restorative Justice Hubs, you were primarily working with young people who have exited the justice system and working with community-based organizations that mm-hmm. were coming together mm-hmm. to try to really, for lack of a better word or phrase, wrap their arms around these young people and make sure that they accompanied them as they sought to sort of re-enter and find their bearings, really,
right.
back in community.
Yeah,
I know that research shows that over 80-85% of the young people in the justice system have experienced some form of trauma.
Yes.
Why would you say that these restorative practices are so, not just critical, but why they are so suited and suitable for these young people who have exited the system, who have experienced trauma like this? Why do these circles work so well with this population?
It works well because in cases, it's a welcome back home. It's, we're here for you. We're embracing you. We're reintroducing you to the community. You're learning about how the community has changed. It's a way for them to even address some of the trauma that they have faced while being incarcerated. It's a way for them to, again, going back to reclaim their humanity, to let them know that we're here for you. There was one of the hubs that used to say, we do life together with our young people. There were some pillars that existed. I'm not sure that I can remember them, but, you know, one of them was radical hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
What that meant was when you came into a hub, that the hub accepted you just as you were, right?
Like,
there was no judgment.
Even with whatever
mistakes you made. Even whatever yeah. mistakes you made, you know, even if you had a familiar scent, right, of weed, right? Like, they weren't like, you can't come in because you smell like that, because we understand how you're processing in life. And if that's how you choose to come to the hub, because this is a safe space for you, we're going to embrace you holistically as who you are. One of my favorite pillars was accompaniment. What that meant was, if a young person, let's say the young person comes from a family that has experienced a lot of movement and even tragedy, sometimes the things that are lost in that tragedy are identification cards, social security cards. These are things that are very important to a young person attempting to navigate school, work, everything. And, you know, there would be an adult who would accompany that young person to where you get your driver's license, and they would stand in line with the young people and coach them through the process. This is why we're doing this. This is the paperwork you have to fill out to demystify these systems that are even intimidating to adults.
And it sounds like that's why you would say that they were being restorative,
yes,
not just doing
that's
a circle,
right,
or hosting
that's
a
right
circle.
That's a prime
because
example.
A circle is one
part
way,
of it, right?
But when I say I'm going to help you after
yep
the judge said
yep
go back to school,
yep,
get a job, do this, and the young person's like, I don't know how to do it.
I don't even know where yeah to start.
But to have an adult who is being restorative to that young
yes
person says, I will walk with you
yep
through this process.
That's right.
That's being restorative.
And that's the village.
Yeah.
Right? That's the village embracing these young people, letting them know that, you know, there is a space for you. There's a place for you to be made whole again, right? Like, there's no judgment.
Yeah.
What you did, you did. You've paid your debt, and now we're moving forward. How can we help you to get ready for work, to go back to school, you know, whatever it is that they may need?
It reminds me of something that I heard a young person say who had been previously justice involved, who asked the question or said, you all always ask us, what did we do?
Mm-hmm. Traditional justice.
But I wish you would ask us, what do we need?
Restorative justice.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
That's the difference. And saying, what do I need right now to be whole, to be in community with
yeah
you, and to be able to live amongst you, and we keep doing our thing as community.
Yeah.
Don't just focus on what I did.
Yes.
Focus on what I need.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. You're yeah absolutely right. That's it.
Well, I appreciate you talking about restorative justice with me. I can say that I really appreciate you being restorative in our relationship. I learn a lot from you every single day, and have always honored and admired your work in community to make sure that especially our young people know that they are not defined by their last mistake, but they have the opportunity to be restored and welcomed back into community.
No, you're on point as always, and I say the same thing. It is an honor to be in space with you, to be married to you, but to have a restorative framework that helps us to guide the way that our family exists, to use these practices with our friends to create space when we could create the space. I mean, you know, we've done things via conference call or on Zoom where we've brought folks together. So that is restorative, how we build community, how we make community whole in the midst of harm,
mm-hmm,
right? COVID has caused harm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, circles, we use circles to heal. There's just so many ways for us to use the practices.
Yeah, and I hope that this conversation will spark people's imaginations around how we can each be more restorative in our own communities.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, thank you so much for
thank
joining
you
me and for kicking off this Walk, Listen, and Learn podcast.
Well, I am hopeful, again, that individuals will tune in and that week to week they'll learn something new about your passions and your work, and that they will walk, listen, and learn with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. That's it for this episode of Walk, Listen, Learn, Our Journey to Justice. Until next time, I'm Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. Thank you for walking, listening, and learning with me. Let's stay on this path towards justice, equity, and opportunity for all.